This episode is brought to you by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling a home, get matched with up to three top selling agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Hey, rock stars. From Rockland USA Studios in Washington, D.C., this is Rock on the Money. I'm talking about your saving, investing, and protecting all those hard-earned monies. We're here to coach you along your path to retirement and financial independence. I'm Craig, your Dave Ramsey Master Financial Coach, along with Amanda, a corporate in-house lawyer and real estate agent. We're so grateful you've joined us. Call us with your questions and comments, 989-AAA-ROCK, 989-888-7625. Check us out on Facebook at Rock on the Money or our website at rockonthemoney.com. What's up, Amanda?
Oh, not too much. What's up with you, Craig?
What's this? What is that? What is that?
Oh, I'm just tired. It's been a very hectic work week already, and it's just starting, really.
Oh, I'm sorry. How's Florida doing with the corona?
Pretty well, actually. I went to the dentist this morning.
I mean, are you guys open, or what's the official status?
So officially malls opened, my dentist office opened this week. Yeah. So it's coming back up. I think the only things that aren't open are like nail salons or hair salons.
Oh, but they even opened contact.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, but they even opened restaurants just at 25%.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Maryland, they opened up the beaches over the weekend. State parks are open. Playgrounds are open. All the outdoor activities are now allowed.
Yeah. I mean, schools are still closed. So, you know, adults are going crazy with kids, but that's neither here nor there.
The what? The pools?
No, schools.
Oh, schools. Yeah, they officially closed schools here for the rest of the year for this. But the beaches were open at Ocean City, Maryland over the weekend. Boardwalk was open. People flooded in. It's fully legit. Governor Hogan did a great job, in my opinion. So,
well, we'll see what happens.
Well, yes. Will there be a second wave? Only time will tell. All right. What's going on in this podcast?
Well, today we're going to talk about five things that you should not do during a recession. We've got a number of social media questions, and we also have a voicemail from a listener.
Yeah, we do.
And then we'll wrap it up with our Savvy Savings segment on financial apps.
Financial apps, that'll be a good one. We've had a lot of questions, actually, people asking that kind of stuff. And okay. I don't think I answered any of them. That'd be great.
Answering the questions.
Oh, no, 24 hours a day. You see me on there. It's not like I got anything else to do right now.
Yeah.
I got a lot of social media questions here. You ready to knock them out?
Let's do it.
I wonder if people prefer hearing us address their questions or the topics or the format we have. I'd love to get some feedback on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Social media question one. Oh, this one's for you.
Okay.
In this crazy time going on, what are your thoughts on home buying? Especially people seeking a mortgage are both airline employees. Several of my realtor friends have advised that lenders are being extremely cautious as to who they lend to right now.
Okay. Well, your realtor friends are real estate agents and not lenders. So I would be extremely cautious about taking lending advice from them. I mean, frankly, in Florida, it's unethical for a real estate agent to make any statement about lending eligibility. So keep that in mind. They probably are guessing that lenders might be cautious, but I don't know that there's any truth to that statement. They're probably basing that off of what happened 10 years ago, and I'm not sure that this is the same type of situation. That being said, you know, ever since 2008, there have been a number of new regulations introduced that do make it more difficult than it was before 2008 to get a home loan. I mean, we've talked about this a few times over the past few weeks, Craig. I don't know that it makes a huge difference what's going on right now in terms of home buying. So I'm not talking about investment house purchases or any type of investment real estate. I'm talking about just home buying. So your primary home. if you have already lined up all your ducks in a row to purchase a home, let's say you were planning to purchase in this month, but you were planning it long ago and you've been saving up for years and you have your down payment and you're ready to make that transition, I wouldn't necessarily change that right now. As long as you've got your other baby steps taken care of, you know, you have your emergency fund, you have your consumer debt paid off, and you're ready and you have a budget that is going to allow you to get a mortgage for a 15-year mortgage for not more than 25% of your take-home pay in mortgage payments plus your escrow payments every month. So your total home payment each month should not exceed 25%. Then, I think it's okay. I would be cautious if you're both in the airline industry. You know, depending on your personal circumstances, I guess it depends on if you're both working for the same airline, how much time you have in with these airlines, whether you're furloughed now or if you're expecting to be furloughed. All of those things certainly create additional uncertainty. Mm-hmm. And as long as you have that uncertainty plan for, I mean, is it a flip of a coin whether you're going to lose your income, or is it 80% chance you're going to lose your income? Those are all factors you need to weigh in on making that decision. But in terms of the home buying market, I don't see that that's necessarily changed. In fact, right now, it's still a seller's market. The inventory is low.
Yeah. I mean, my home value has gone up. I know mm-hmm. you can't go by Zillow. I get that.
No.
The zip code, as long as it keeps saying it's going up, I know it. I know you can't go by the price. I get that. Right, but it still is somewhat of an indicator of even a little bit. I don't see it going down.
No, of course, not yet. In DC area, I don't see it going down anytime in the next. It'll probably take at least a year for whatever's happening now in terms of people's affordability for their current homes to start hitting the market, because, you know, foreclosures take a long time, people. So if you're waiting to catch a deal on a foreclosure, one, I don't necessarily recommend foreclosures as an option for first-time home buyers, because there's usually people who are getting out of that situation don't leave that home in a great great place. So you're just buying some problems, and it's a process. So I, you know, look at what's available now. If you are already on track to make that home purchase, I wouldn't let this slow you down, with the big asterisk there that the fact that both of you are in the same industry, that's higher risk than if you had some diversification across your employment.
And you're not in the tech industry right now or healthcare. You're in the airline industry. Just be extremely careful. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows.
Yeah, so I would make sure you have on the higher end of your emergency fund closer to 6 to 9 months rather than 3 to 6 months.
I get a lot of flack over the being overcautious with my airline friends, but I'm very confident I'm going to end up being correct as we move forward. And I think we're going to learn a lot in October. So I just want people to be very cautious. If you have under 5 years in, there's no rush. Just relax. Just prepare. That's all I'm going to say. We have a voicemail.
All right.
Been a while. Got a voicemail from Alex in Maryland. My home
state. Wait. What? So who's our winner from May? Or sorry, from April.
We're in you got to watch the video in our Facebook group. I can't just release it here in the group.
Oh, okay.
In the podcast.
So you have everyone who's listening. If you want to know who the winner is, you have to go to the Facebook group.
But for a winner in May, if you want to win a gift card to Amazon, just call 989-888-ROCK, 989-888-7625. Leave a comment, a voicemail question, and nobody's going to answer the phone. Don't worry. It's not like it's connected to a phone, Amanda. It says just record it and it gets emailed to me from the cloud somewhere. I don't know.
Magic.
It's magic. It just comes in and I listen to it. We pop it in the show. But just leave us a voicemail question about financial stuff and we'll answer it. And then you're entered. So, hey, here's Alex.
Hi, Craig and Amanda. It's Alex from Frederick, Maryland. Just wanted to call and ask a question about 457s. I've got 6 years with Craig's old department when I was hired at 22. I split my money evenly between a Roth and a traditional 457. At the time, I was told there was some sort of rules about when you can withdraw a Roth versus a traditional 457, and I'll be eligible to retire at 47, so I split it that way I could potentially get it right away without penalty. Not that I'm planning on actually retiring at 47, but I figured it was a good idea. Is that still the case? Is there still a penalty to take a Roth early? If so, how do you reconcile that penalty with the option of retiring early, like a lot of us in public safety have? All right, thanks.
All right, Amanda, I'll tackle this one since he apparently works for the fire department I came from. But this is really related to many people out there because it is a Roth question. So when it gets right down to it. So he has a 457. For people that aren't familiar with that, 457 is just a government version of a 401k. The benefit of a 457 over 401k, Amanda, is that if it's traditional, you don't have to wait till you're old to use it. You can use it right away.
Well, on top of your, I'm glad you don't have to be old.
Well, yeah. Old is relative. I feel like I'm at halftime. I got a long way to go. I'm full of energy. But traditional 457s, not Roth, this is pre-tax, you can use as soon as you retire. If you have a normal separation from wherever you're working, if you are in a Roth 457, now he said he's in both, Amanda. So let me talk about the Roth version. The Roth 457 is like a Roth 401k. You can take a qualified distribution if you've been in it at least 5 years, depositing into it. You made your last, made on or after the date you attain 59 and a half, which is the same as an IRA Roth, by the way. There's really no difference. Matter of fact, everything I'm saying here is very similar to a Roth IRA. After you die, which doesn't really help you any, it helps the beneficiary, Amanda.
Right.
Doesn't help you.
Or
if you're really disabled and you have a hardship. Okay. But you got to prove that stuff. So that's the difference between two. In his question, yes, because he had the traditional 457, he can use that when he retires at 47, which we'll get to that part in a sec. But he would have to wait till he's 59 and a half to use the Roth 457 bucket. I call them buckets. This individual also does have a full pension from the fire department. So he'll probably retire with an 80% pension, which is phenomenal.
That is,
That is rare, but government employees, those still exist out there. And if he's retiring at 47, I am totally 100% against, and I let him know this, by the way, because he's younger. Mm-hmm. I'm being like the dad. Do not touch your 457 when you're 47 years old.
Right.
Absolutely not. Look, number one, he doesn't have to retire 47. He can keep working till he's 30, till 32, 35 years of the department, or he can leave and go work another job. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've done, Amanda, because now you're truly double dipping.
You're getting your pension plus your salary.
Yeah, you're working at a salary. And of course, I did triple dipping where I did pension, job.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm furloughed on one and temporarily paused on another, but that's beside the point.
I think we can just call it a furlough.
No, the corporate office says it's called a pause.
Okay.
We're probably the only
tomato.
Someone secretly says, now you're furloughed. I was like, okay, whatever. I'm sure it's a technical thing they're saying anyway. But if all these firefighters, police officers, 911 communications professionals, all these people that retire, even military, Amanda, everybody that retires early, there's nothing that says you can't keep working. And I personally, not only for money to give your retirement a boost, but to give yourself something to do. I know people like, well, I can go fishing, I can go golfing. You know, that's really not challenging your brain and having a purpose, if that makes sense, Amanda.
Right.
There's something about being forced to get up every morning, take a shower, shave. And, well, I'm not shaving right now.
I don't think most of us are doing that now.
No.
We're at home.
But being part of something and being forced to get up and take care of yourself. Harsh.
All right. All right, Craig, you're on your soapbox.
I'm on my soapbox, but you know, you should have a purpose. Actually, this is a whole segment we could do in the future.
Yeah.
About,
we're
about
not psychiatrists though. So,
but anyway, you are correct. You can't use it until you're 59 and a half for your Roth 457. You can use your traditional, but I'm totally against you using any of them until you really have to, because you have a pension. There's no reason to touch that money whatsoever. Wait.
All right.
And wait and wait. All right. So that's question number two.
So just so we're clear, Alex, you got a big answer there.
Yes. In other words, don't touch it. Why are you asking me questions? Wait till you're 59 and a half. Yeah. I'll haunt you in your dreams. All right. Here's question number two. Hey, Craig, I'm going to throw it at you as well. Are there a handful of stocks at about $30 or less that you would suggest investing in during these times? I've never owned any stocks, but have started reading a little here and there. Would any of the cruise lines be wise in your opinions? Any thoughts on Dave and Buster's? I have about $500 to invest at TD Ameritrade. I actually got through the question without laughing. Go ahead. Would you like
to? No, you didn't.
Would you like
all
to?
Right. So, yes. So, if you're just starting to invest, single stocks are not the place to start. And I, along with Warren Buffett, who has been doing stock investing his entire life, would not advise getting into the cruise lines or anything travel related right now. I mean, yeah, he dumped billions of dollars worth of stocks in the travel industry in the last couple of weeks.
Ask him how much he's lost in the travel industry.
Yeah. Single stock trading is not something you just dabble in. Your $500 is much better off in one of the mutual funds that we've been recommending in our Core and Explore segments. So, Craig, I don't know. I don't remember which episode that was that we talked about Core and Explore. I mean, we've talked about it a number of times, but there's one that's dedicated exclusively to that.
Yeah, if you go to the website and hit the search thing, it's right there in the front. And type in Core, it'll come right up.
There you go. Get on the website.
Yep. Keyword Core, C-O-R-E.
All right. So now it's your turn for soapbox number two.
Oh, no. I'll make this quick. Number one, since you brought up Dave and Buster's and cruise lines, no, neither. $30 stocks. I know you only have $500 to invest. The word investing or just stock trading is completely different. Yesterday, you weren't a stock trader. You shouldn't be one today. Like Amanda said, do Core and Explore. Let's go through the baby steps properly. You shouldn't even be touching stocks until you've been through baby step six.
So, yeah. You shouldn't be investing at all if you are on baby step two.
Yeah. And I'm not even sure, what do you want from this $500? Are you trying to make quick money? Because personally, Amanda, I've said this to other people in private, and they actually are going in doing it. I can take that $500, go to Goodwill and these other places, or go to the clearance rack at Walmart. I can buy stuff off the rack, resell it on eBay. I can double that money in 2 weeks.
That's right. Yeah.
And without doing any fees and commissions whatsoever.
Oh, yeah. Let's get an update, Craig. Where are you at with your eBay sales on week two?
All right. Drum roll.
Yeah.
Hold on. I'm waiting for it to pop up. $842.76.
Nice. And yes, that's just 2 weeks.
And that was, I had a slow week. I thought it would be $1,000. But the cost of shipping kind of got me, and I had to pay my April fee to eBay, apparently. So they take it right out of your PayPal automatically.
Gotcha. Well, so I have finally posted my first two items. So my auction has just begun, and I have a few days left on it.
I did find something. This thing is so friggin' old. It's like 15 years old. It's a game controller, which apparently is selling for $300 to $400 currently on eBay.
Well, in this case, I guess it pays to be a hoarder.
God, you're so hard on me. Yeah.
You clearly don't have to move every 2 or 3 years like I do.
Well, the thing, this controller is huge. It has two big joysticks. It controls, forget it. It's not even, you'll see the pictures on eBay.
Okay. All right. All right. So the bottom line is on this question here, just no.
No. No. And don't do worry Dave about 30.
I mean, I understand that the goal, there's probably some concern that $500 isn't going to buy many shares in a mutual fund, but honestly, that is your best bet.
Yeah. And I'm
start there and keep adding to your investment fund until you can keep purchasing more shares.
The problem right now, Amanda, is everybody sees the stocks low and they just assume they're going back up.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how it works. All right. You ready? Question number three.
Yes.
Why are you laughing?
I don't know. I'm just, I guess, in a good mood.
Okay, awesome.
I'm happy to take a break from working for an hour.
That's probably why you like doing the podcast, to get you away from that. All right. From Facebook, we have a question. Listening to one of your archive podcasts, I love that people are going back listening to old podcasts.
Yeah.
I do get little messages every now and then. People are like, hey, I'm driving. I'm listening all of your podcast. I love it.
Awesome.
And I have a quick question. I've paid off my debt. I saved up an emergency fund for 1 year.
Awesome.
15% towards a 401k. I switched it over to a Roth. Somebody has been listening to the podcast.
Yeah, this is an A-plus student here.
Yeah. Hey, question two. Are you listening to this?
Mm-hmm.
And I guarantee they didn't invest in Dave and Buster's.
No.
Would you start thinking about small investments like $2,000 to $4,000? Or would you keep growing cash since it's unknown with the coronavirus? If investing, how would you start? Thank you. I love this question, by the way.
It's a great question.
It's awesome.
So he or she did not mention whether or not they have a mortgage to pay off. So that would be the first thing I would look at is you've done everything right up to this point on your baby steps. So your next one is making sure you pay off your mortgage. Well, Dave would say save for your child's college, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, which is fine. But I would put your mortgage first. It's your personal preference, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But make sure you've got that mortgage fully paid off. And then I would look at increasing your investments. And it's possible you have more room to grow in your 401k, depending on your income level. You could raise that up to the annual limits.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't do anything separate from that if you don't have to.
Yeah. And as we've talked in previous podcasts, max out, once you get through the baby steps, go back and max out the 401k. Then if you have even more, max out, work on your IRA Roth.
That's right. Yeah.
And then you can go start buying all those other stocks that you're talking about. You said small investments in the question.
Right.
That's that core and explore thing.
Right.
Make sure we have our Roths.
I mean, you're at 15% with the 401k. That's awesome. You're doing exactly right. I wouldn't do anything more in terms of investments until your mortgage is paid off.
Yep. Yeah. And once you have that off your shelf, it's amazing how much money you have. You can go back and easily max out that 401k and open up a Roth from just your mortgage payments being gone.
Yeah, so it's incredible.
That would be the order. The Ramsey Kingdom with Chris Hogan, the millionaire guy, everyday millionaire. Great book, by the way, no one's ever bought that. We have a link for it on the website under our books heading. I bought the audiobook. It's great because his voice is amazing. They did a study of 10,000 millionaires. And I guarantee I'm actually ordered the study. Apparently, it's really boring, but I'll have all the data here with me. And I'm pretty sure, Amanda, I'm going to put a bet down right now, $100 to the person that asked that question, that not a single person of the 10,000 millionaires invested in Dave and Buster's. Or cruise line stocks. So what they found in this study,
I would say that's probably pretty fair. Millionaires tend to do very boring investments.
And that's actually what the study found. A vast majority, like 90 plus something percent, apparently it was hardly any. Most of them got their million by going through the baby steps. But with their investments, it was basically their at work 401k.
Yep.
Mutual funds and 401k.
Or the employer retirement plan.
Yep. With steady contributions coming right from their paycheck because it's the easiest way to do it. That is boring. And we promote boring. I'm sorry. I don't go throw crazy stocks into our group. There are other groups that do that stuff and people lose money. We want people to take the path. I think people find it very hard to believe it's that easy and they ignore it. It's it's frustrating some days, Amanda, with the questions I get. Yeah, I'm trying to get them. I think that they're all looking for faster money, and that's just not how millionaires get their money. It is steady over time. Anyway, I promise.
Well, why don't we take a break, Craig, and then we can come back with our topic and the savvy savings.
Oh, the topic's going to be really quick, too. Sounds good.
Yeah.
We'll be back right after this. You're listening to Rock on the Money.
Sponsored by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Eliminate your stress. Whether you're buying or selling your home, be sure you are working with an expert in your local area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com will match you with up to 3 qualified, licensed agents that specialize in your specific market. Choice Realty Connect serves every zip code in all 50 states with a network of over 15,000 top-rated agents that are ranked within the top 5% for sales. Whether you're looking for a condo, new construction, fixer-up, mountain retreats, vacation properties, or a first-time home buyer, let Choice Realty Connect match you with the perfect top agent today. Choice Realty Connect is who I trust, and I know you will too. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. The choice is yours.
ChoiceRealtyConnect.com is a licensed referral agent under the brokerage firm Realty Connect Incorporated.
Rockland, USA.
On the Money with Amanda and me.
And Craig.
Love doing this podcast. And Amanda, you've been great on here. We really do appreciate you coming on here every week, every couple of days.
Yeah, twice a week.
As busy as you are with all your careers and everything, it's just great having you on here. Hey, got a topic here. We're going to fly through this one real quick.
Okay.
It's just something I found out because I do truly believe we're going to go into a recession. And I think everyone's pretty much assuming that's going to happen. 5 things you should not do during a recession.
Okay, I'm going to call you out right away because I see way more than 5 bullet points here.
Don't read my notes. Summer summaries. All right.
So for those of you at home who are listening along, prepare yourself. There's more than 5.
All right. Hey, Amanda, when the economy is in a recession, financial risks increase. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the risk could be default, business failures, bankruptcies, all kinds of things happen. And
yes,
we're already seeing bankruptcies occurring. J. Crew filed for bankruptcy. I think JCPenney's right around the corner. This is just the start. This is going to be a ton of them coming aboard.
There are going to be.
It's going to be a
smorgasbord for bankruptcy attorneys.
And a lot of people that work at these companies, retail is a big employer. Yeah. So avoid increasing and possibly reduce your exposure to financial risk is what we're trying to do when we get to the 5 things on my list here. Okay. Number 1, we don't want to co-sign any loans.
Never. Not now, not ever.
Whoa! You're not supposed to say never.
Never.
But I totally agree with you.
This is one of those rare times where you're going to hear me say never.
Yeah. You shouldn't do it even without a recession, but going into a recession, you definitely don't want to do this. Now,
One of my sisters did that once for one of her friends, and it was many years ago, like more than a decade ago, and she got burned. Her friend defaulted, and now it hit her credit, and it's been a mess ever since. So, hard lesson to learn the hard way.
And the problem is, the reason why they need you to co-sign it, Amanda, is why?
Well, because the banks have already done their due diligence and identified that person as a high-risk person who's likely to default.
Right. So, just remember, if you have a friend or something like that and you're co-signing, chances are you're probably going to end up with it because they're a high risk. Yeah, for sure.
Because, the banks, they earn their money by knowing who's going to pay their money and who's not. Right. They have so many algorithms and smart people doing these evaluations. So if you think that you know your friend better than the banks, watch out because your friend's probably not sharing all their financial information with you.
Now, on the flip side for this, we're going to hear the things, well, I have a family member that may need a cosign. Just if you're going to do that, and everybody's situation is different, I'm totally against it. But, you know, emotions run high. If you
heard, I'm totally against it. And I almost never say never.
Yeah. If Amanda, the lawyer, is telling you never,
not even probably family. Shouldn't do it. I mean, you're just setting yourself up, especially if it's family. Don't mix money and family. It ruins the dynamic in and your relationship. Friends. You're always going to have that hanging over your relationship. Yep. It changes it to a servicer and servicee in the relationship. It's terrible. Don't do it.
If you do cosign, you can pretty much, even a family member, you're going to end up paying it. So have the payments ready.
I mean,
if that's
what you go in knowing, I mean, if you go in expecting that this is your mortgage and not your family members, and you're emotionally prepared for that, fine. Like, I once made a small cash loan to a friend, but I just immediately thought of it mentally as a gift. And if she paid me back, fine. But I was never, ever going to look at it as a loan because I didn't want it to hurt the relationship, you know? All right. So you have to be willing to lose your money on this.
Oh, yeah. Number two, don't take out adjustable rate mortgage loans. As the economy improves, the rates go up.
Right.
We are just thinking about the worst case scenario that you lose your job and the rates go up. Are you able to keep up the payments? Just remember, whenever you get a mortgage, remember our rule. And the rule doesn't mean I'm forcing you to get a 15-year mortgage. We're just making sure that you're not buying too much house, even though I would rather you get a 15-year mortgage with a total payment no more than 25% of your take-home pay.
Right.
I would prefer that, but it's basically a gauge so you can work on the budget that Amanda keeps talking about.
Right.
Ad nauseum. Number three, you're keeping track of my five points.
I'm totally keeping track. I have this count. I'm counting on my fingers.
Number five, taking on new debt of any kind. Like right now, there's a lot of car deals going on out there. That is debt, people. Buying things with credit cards.
So here I would say...
Go ahead.
Here I would say, mostly that's true. You should not take on new debt. I always make exceptions mentally for people. If you are saving yourselves or saving your four walls, that would be an emergency situation that I could foresee someone having to take on debt just to, you know, make ends meet for needs, not wants.
Right. But you know, the people that there are looking at all those car deals, like, oh, man.
Yeah, those are wants.
Yeah.
So you might need a mode of transportation, but you don't need a new car or a $20,000 car. Your need is limited to something with four wheels that rolls down the road.
Yeah.
So you can find things
for $2,500, people.
$2,500,
yeah.
Anything above that, that delta is what we call a want.
Yeah. Number four, keep track.
Number four.
Taking your job for granted. There are people out there that are confident about their jobs right now that, you know, and there are a number of people that are in great jobs that aren't going anywhere, okay? But there are people even getting laid off in the healthcare industry right now.
Yeah.
I mean, their specialty is not needed right now. Their dentist office as well. Yours is open.
Yeah, I got my
But there are a lot of offices that are closed. And they're not working.
I'll tell you, my dental hygienist said that she was off for 6 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, they were open for emergencies, but they didn't need their full staff.
No, It's not like they're taking appointments or anything. Never take your job for granted. You shouldn't take your job for granted even when we're not in a recession. You should always treat the job as your place that you know you need to bring home the money, bring home the bacon to pay and live until you're ready to retire. You should never take your, if you don't like your job, you should look for another one.
Right.
So never assume that your job is going to be okay. And always make sure that you don't work as a marginal worker. Like, do your job. Number five, taking risks with investments. Once again,
we just talked about this.
Going back to Dave and Buster's and the cruise ships.
Yeah.
Granny Airlines stock, girl. Guys, stop taking risks. This stuff is still dropping. Things are going to get worse before they get better.
Yeah.
Even the companies are not giving guidance for the quarter on how things are going to be because nobody knows. And for some reason, people on Facebook seem to think they know when the companies don't even know. Please just keep your cash. There's time to invest some other day. You're not going to miss out on anything.
Stash your cash.
Right. Now, if you're investing through your paycheck, continue doing that because you're buying low. I'm talking about all these crazy investments about stocks. Stop. Just stop. You're losing your money. Everything keeps going down. And we're in a trading range. Just don't do it. I get very frustrated when these arguments pop up on Facebook. Then I just have to walk away. I'm like, go ahead. Do whatever you want to do. Lose your money. All right, so those are my five items, Amanda. There are five. Now I have some other points, like adapting some of those things. Like if you're a business owner, when we talked about not going further in debt, you don't want to spend in capital improvements, take on new debt to improve your business or make it larger or anything like that. Because most of these business owners are pretty much trying to survive at this point, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So I think we touched on everything else. And that's it.
Okay. So five I guess things. You did have five.
It was five. So number one, don't co-sign loans. Number two, don't take out adjustable rate mortgages. Number three, don't take on new debt that you don't need. Number four, don't take your job for granted. Number five, don't take risks with investments.
There you go.
Boom, boom, boom. There you go. Hey, let's do some savvy savings.
Yes. So today's segment is about financial apps. Ooh. So I just wanted to bring up some, not all that are out there and available and not necessarily all that I would even recommend, but some financial apps that will allow you to manage your money personally. So they'll help you set up a budget or choose personalized and automatic investment plans. So the first one is called Mint, and it's something that is offered by the company called Intuit, which is the maker of QuickBooks. So they have a very large financial history. Mint is all your financial information wrapped up into one little app. And I think we've talked about this one before, right, Craig?
Yep.
Yeah. So a Mint allows you to see where every dollar goes and where it ends up. It connects directly to your bank account. You can integrate multiple bank accounts and it'll track every dollar spent by every account. And the best part is that when you connect it, it automatically updates everything for you. So with these updates, you don't have to check in on your account every time you get paid or make a purchase. Mint will just show you a breakdown of your finances so that you know how much money needs to be allocated or allocation is another word for budget, by the way.
Yes.
So allocated to rent, transportation fees, or other expenses in your life. It lists the cash that you have to your name and the debt that you have and how much money you're currently investing. So you can see your full net worth all in the same place as well. So it's budgeting, net worth. It also goes further to help you by suggesting what investment options are best for you. And it gives you a breakdown that makes it simple to use and helpful to stay on track. And the best part is it's free.
Yes, I love free.
So there's another free app here called the Every Dollar app. And this is one that this is a Dave Ramsey app. So it's available on his website and it is free for the basic app. But then you do have to pay a monthly subscription if you want the upgraded app.
Yep.
So the free version allows you to create unlimited budgets. It allows you to track transactions against your budget and it includes email support. The upgraded version, which is a monthly subscription, will also connect to your bank account for faster expense tracking. So again, with the Mint version, you get that for free and you don't have to pay a monthly subscription. Here with the Every Dollar app, you would pay a monthly subscription. And the monthly subscription also includes your ability to view account balances within the app. And then you get callback support and coaching calls as well with the upgraded version. Okay, the next one here is an app called Acorns. So Acorns is another money app in the financial space, but it's focused on micro investing and allowing you to make automatic investments on a daily, weekly, or monthly basis. So until you have $1 million invested, acorns will, and that's their cute little gimmick, is that you, it's just a fun pile of acorns. Acorns will cost $1, $2, or $3 a month. And you get certain investment options, suggestions, and opportunities depending on the acorns plan that you decide on. With the $1 per month plan, Acorns Core, you're able to invest small bits of money over time. So this might be an option for that person with $500. The $2 a month plan called Acorns Later allows you to invest in your retirement through an IRA account and have access to everything you'd get through the Acorns Core plan as well. And then the $3 plan is called Acorns Spend. That comes with the Acorns debit card and checking account, as well as benefits of Acorns Core and Acorns Later. I wouldn't recommend that because there are better financial institutions out there for checking and savings. So I would keep that separate. And again, this is really an app intended for people who haven't started investing yet and don't have a retirement plan available to them with an employer, but want to start investing. It's a great option there for that. It provides you with easy to access resources that help you invest, spend, earn, and grow your money. And they've partnered with brands that will invest your Acorns account when you invest in that brand. So you can easily check how much money you've earned through investing with those brands.
Nice.
And their model splits up shares so that you can get just a portion of a share as an Acorn. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Your employer sponsored retirement plan should always be your first stop shop for any type of investing.
Absolutely.
There's another one out there called Robinhood. So it's another option for investing. You might want to check it out. It's an app that's geared towards providing with options for investing in stocks, working with exchange traded funds, the ETFs that we talk about, mm-hmm. like the S&P 500, yep. and diving into the world of cryptocurrency, which we do not recommend as it is highly volatile and you're going to lose your shirt.
Oh yeah. Did you see that question on Facebook today?
Yes.
We're going to use that in the next episode because I had to calm down. I didn't even understand that was a real question.
Yeah. Through Robinhood, you're able to browse news or choose sectors to invest in that you're genuinely interested in. You can also check in on your specific portfolio so that you can adjust your investments as you see fit. They do offer a premium account, providing users with access to four main premium features. And in that premium account, you get access to the professional research, NASDAQ market data, investing on margin, and larger instant deposits. So for $5 a month, they're able to take your investing up a notch from the Acorns app.
Can we emphasize two things with that?
Yeah.
Never invest in cryptocurrency.
We said that, yes.
And never invest on margin.
Yes.
That's basically taking a loan out, people, to invest.
That's right.
Usually ends pretty bad.
Pretty poorly, yep. It's a loan. It's another loan.
Yeah.
And then the final one I wanted to share today is called Personal Capital. And we did talk about this one in a previous episode as well. But this is another free app aimed at helping you get your finances in order. So this app allows you to budget with some freedom, allows you to save money and put it away for your retirement, as well as build your investments. Personal Capital lets you link all of your financial accounts to the app. And after connecting, you can focus on setting up a budget through the app. It'll help you track your money, what you're spending it on each month, what you're spending it on. And once your budget's set up, you can focus on retirement planning through the app and financial steps to achieve other personal financial goals. One of the unique features of Personal Capital is the fee analyzer feature. So that's helpful because it helps to uncover hidden fees and in turn saves you more money. One of the listeners had run the analysis and ended up saving like $200,000 over the life of his retirement plan. So it was an astonishing amount because they did the fee analyzer analysis. So in a world of customizable experience for everything, you know, there's plenty of apps out there for you to take advantage of to help you understand your money, help you create a budget. There's another one called You Need a Budget. That's another option out there. I mean, there's just a ton of them. I just highlighted a handful here to get you started.
Which ones have I used? None of them.
I've used Mint before. Started using that before we started the envelope system. So I thought it was really good. It's helpful if you don't have too many accounts to have to feed in, but it works really well. And they have integrations with pretty much every bank.
I think that's the one I'm going to try because it's free.
It is free. So you've got nothing to lose.
Yeah. I'm not going to do the Robinhood thing. I'm not in that camp.
No.
I'm not going to do a little micro investing, which...
No, and you really shouldn't. If you have a employer-sponsored plan available to you, you shouldn't even be considering those.
Yeah, I'm kind of boring with my investing, so that's... Occasionally, I day trade, but it's not going to be on Robinhood. I have a regular trading platform for that. And personal capital, I'm pretty good on all my 401k stuff. People that do have a lot of funds and they're not sure about what we teach and coach, they should use that and find out that, yeah, there are a lot of fees and commissions that you were not aware of. And I think that's the one I think I really want people to double check what we talk about. Use that one.
Yeah,
you did a whole review on it previously about that app and that platform. And like you said, we've had people go on there and they turned out to be millionaires by not doing the funds that they were going to be in. They were saving it was $400,000+ they were saving, Amanda, in fees and commissions. It was insane.
It was crazy. Yeah, anyway. I remember it was.
But that was great, Amanda. Thank you.
Oh, here, I found it. So we did a personal capital app overview on episode 21.
There you go. Episode 21. I'll put the link in the show notes so you can jump right over there and listen to that app review on personal capital. I believe it was a full in-depth review, not just a quick one right here.
It was a more in-depth one. And just a side note, the search feature on our website worked great.
It's so much better than the last one. By the way, guys, I've done a ton of tweaks to the website in the last week or two, and it is flying. There's little bits here and there that really do improve how to find things, how things are listed, easier ways to subscribe to the website, subscribe to the podcast at various platforms. It really does help us, guys, if you do share the podcast, tell others. I know a lot of people are doing that, but we need more of that. We need subscriptions to podcast. It really does help out a lot. And then you get automatic delivery of the podcast right to your phone.
That's awesome.
You get notified. So, but current schedule... Amanda knows. New podcasts, full shows on every Monday and Thursday. We have little short topics on Tuesdays and Fridays, and Savvy Savings right there smack in the middle on Wednesdays.
That's right.
Just Amanda and her Savvy Savings on Wednesdays.
Yeah, so the last one was on what, coffee?
Oh, yeah.
I think you said you had a bone to pick with me on tip number 6. So
yeah, that would be don't drink coffee, and that ain't happening.
So that's not an option. So 1 through 5 are options for coffee drinkers. There you go. You'll have to go listen.
Yes. But thank you very much, Amanda. I love the Savvy Savings and looking at the stats. People love that episode on Wednesdays. And you get a lot of listens on your episode. That's really great. So I appreciate that. All right. Thank you, everybody. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.